Good morning. I'm Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of our brother Jesus and pray that by our worship this day, we might each catch a glimpse of the realm of love that he proclaimed, and perhaps to be inspired to go forth and make that world a reality. I extend a particular welcome to those of you who are joining us this day through our live streamed or our recorded worship. We are a community that is separated physically, and yet we are a community that is bound by the Holy Spirit to be the body of Christ in the world. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. We're so pleased that you made time this morning to be part of this worshiping community. We have a few thank yous we want to offer this morning as we begin our announcements. We thank our worship leaders, Sarah Lynn Keller and Wayne Zaretter, Janine Keady and Tom Foster and Beth Canterbury. We also thank Randy Brewer and Hank Zaretter and the staff at Pegasus Natick for making this worship possible on the technical side. A couple of things about our worship this day. We have a time as usual at the beginning of our worship where we will light the Christ candle together. So we invite you to have a candle prepared to do that. That will happen just following the announcements. We also have a ritual action that will happen later in the worship following the reflection during right around the time of the morning prayer. And we invite you to have a couple of other things that will make your worship experience more meaningful. Some sea glass or beach glass, a bowl, and some water. Simple things, and yet simple things that will take on a special life in the meaningfulness of the season of Lent. As usual, during our worship, we'll have a time of lifting up prayer, celebrations, and concerns. So there are many of those that are listed in the church's bulletin, and you can find them there. But if you have other prayer concerns or celebrations you'd like to lift up this day and have included in our worship, we can do that. You can email them now to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. That's prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. And if we receive them by the time of the reflection, we should be able to incorporate them into our morning's worship, and in particular, the morning's prayer this day. And as usual, we have a time of post-worship fellowship via Zoom video conferencing following our worship. This happens almost immediately after we finish with our worship. And so we invite all of you to be a part of that. You can find links here at the end of the worship service in the bulletin, also in the bulletin that you may have downloaded. And you can find them as well on the church's website and in the emailing link that went out on Friday or this morning. So we invite you to be a part of that time of fellowship. Sarah Lynn, I know that you have at least a couple of announcements this morning.
Yes, good morning. Thank you. So our Lenten Soul Sabbatical started this past Wednesday. We have a group of about 12 people joining us for that. It looks like it will be a wonderful time of discussion, conversation, some prayer, really, really grounded. And we are using the book Grounded by Diana Butler Bass as our guide through this Lenten journey. And so if you would like to join us, or if you would like to read along, this is the information that you need. So it's the book Grounded by Diana Butler Bass. And just another invitation to folks to join us for our midweek connection and prayer that happens every Wednesday at noon. There's the link that is available on our website or in the weekly emails that go out so that you can join us for that. It's a good time to share prayer requests and pray together. And another reminder that Jonathan is available for any pastoral care needs that you may have during the week. So please feel free to contact him via his email at pastor@firstchurchnatick.org or via his cell phone.
People of God, we serve the Lord of light, the one who told us that we too are the light of the world and who called us to shine that love light forth as brightly as possible. No sin, no brokenness can take from us this identity as God's children of light, or this holy, luminous vocation that we have been given. May this candle lighting then represent our acceptance of this holy identity and our intention to respond with light-filled purpose. Let us light our candles now together. And let us continue our worship with this morning's time of threshold beginnings. As we continue on our Lenten journey, we experience a season of healing and recovery that begins with acceptance of our brokenness and naming that which has been shattered in our lives and within us. On our way to renewal, we recognize that our mental and emotional health is essential to our healthy spiritual lives.
Those who collect sea glass become archaeologists, seeking out any markings or clues as to the story of the original piece. It often takes much time to bring out the truth behind it. We acknowledge the power of truth-telling in healing. There are stories that have shaped our lives, leaving us without the ability to see who we truly are in the eyes of God, and leaving us without the ability to speak the depth of our struggle. This week, we focus on the importance of recovery of mental health, reclaiming our sense of who we are, naming and reclaiming our deepest dreams, and proclaiming new redemptive stories of divine worth. And we affirm that regardless of our brokenness, we are yet vessels, holy and whole.
Good morning. For our Lenten music, I'll sing the piece through once, and then I invite you to join me on the second time through.
Join me in the opening prayer as we say together, Loving God, as we worship you today, let not our hearts be hard as stone, but make us soft and pliable as clay. Let not our minds be armored as a fortress, but make us an open archway. Let us not cling to preconceived assumptions, but relax our hands to let go of all to which we grasp. Set us free to hold whatever you might send us, a dream shared, a vision given, a call delivered. Amen.
I invite each of us now to share the peace of Christ, reaching out our hands in a gesture of blessing, or perhaps placing our hands over our hearts with the intention of opening ourselves to God's peace and meeting the spirits of others with our peace. Or perhaps using the word namaste with a bow that conveys the sense that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
In our worship, we offer many gifts, and one of those is the gift of presence. And during this time of being separated physically and having online worship, it can feel that we're removed, and yet we're not removed. This church's mission and ministry continues in vibrant and vital ways, and we want to remind you of those and the ways that you play a particular role in making this community, the body of Christ, alive and well in the world. One of the other ways that we do this, of course, is sharing gifts of money, because those gifts of money will help us to do some of the things that we choose to do as a congregation. So we hope that you will continue to be generous in your money giving. There are many ways to do that. One way, of course, is to simply mail a check to the church. That is, will be gratefully received. Another way is to use our online giving portal through our church's website at www.firstchurchnatick.org. We look forward to the many ways that you will use your gifts to help us to be the body of Christ in its particular manifestation in Natick and beyond. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Let us give now with merciful hearts. Thank you. invite you now into a time of praying together in thanksgiving. Holy One, accept these offerings of thanks and praise. May they bring comfort to the distressed and shelter to the vulnerable, that those who receive them might know your love and catch a glimpse of your kingdom and place their hopes in you and dream dreams that are worthy of your will and worthy of your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 17 through 26. He came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, and all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. And woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." And continuing in chapter 13, verses 31 through 35, "At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, 'Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you.' He said to them, 'Go and tell that fox for me, listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed away from Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Here ends the reading for today.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I think it's just this wacky year, but as you know, several times for sermons, I have taken us down the rabbit hole with some readings from Alice in Wonderland or Through the Looking Glass, and with your permission, and seeing as you all are not here to stop me, I am going to continue with a little reading from Through the Looking Glass, which goes like this. Hearing something that sounded like the puffing of a steam engine, Alice asked, "Are there tigers about?" "It's only the Red King snoring," said Tweedledee. "Come and look." He had a nightcap on and was lying in an untidy heap. "Fit to snore his head off," Tweedledum remarked. "He's dreaming now," said Tweedledee. "And what do you think he's dreaming about?" Alice said, "Well, nobody can guess that." "Why, about you," Tweedledee exclaimed. "And if he left off dreaming about you, where do you suppose you'd be?" Where I am now, of course, said Alice. Not you, Tweedledee retorted. You'd be nowhere. Why, you're only a thing in his dream. If that there king was to wake, added Tweedledum, you'd go out, bang, just like a candle. I shouldn't, said Alice indignantly. Besides, if I'm only a thing in his dream, what are you? Well, ditto, said Tweedledum. Ditto, ditto, cried Tweedledee. Hush, said Alice, you'll wake him. Well, it's no use your talking about waking him, said Tweedledum. Or the thing, him. You know very well you're not real. I am real, said Alice, and beginning to cry. You won't make yourself a bit realer by crying, Tweedledee remarked. If I wasn't real, Alice said, I shouldn't be able to cry. I hope you don't suppose those are real tears, Tweedledum interrupted in a tone of great contempt. Well, Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass is set within a dream. The story of Alice's dream told in the third person. At the end, Alice proclaims her dream to be wonderful and curious, though if she had remembered Tweedledee and Tweedledum, she might have also added provoking. Wonderful, curious, provoking. Our dreams can be all of these things and more. They can be scary, for example, and as this excerpt indicates, they can often be difficult to grasp. Carol reveled in the mystery of dreams. No doubt we do as well. Just this morning, I was reading an article on NPR that was about how scientists have discovered that it is possible to communicate with dreaming people. So I invite you to check out NPR's website about that story. But in the conclusion of Through the Looking Glass, Alice ponders who dreamed it all, stating inconclusively, he was a part of my dream, of course, but then I was a part of his dream too. The book's last line is a question then to the reader, which do you think it was? And of course it was both and neither, being the dream child of Lewis Carroll himself. So what is a dream? What is a dream? Is it, as the dictionary says, a train of thoughts or images passing through the mind in sleep? Or is it, as a psychotherapist might assert, the expression of various aspects of the ego and the superego, which have value in the diagnosis and treatment of personality disorders? Or is it a gateway to the sacred dream realm, as the Lakota nation believes, to which we may embark on a vision quest of ritual fasting and sacrifice? Well, however we define them, our dreams have meaning to us. The Bible concurs. Jacob's ladder dream, Joseph's dream interpretation, Solomon's dream in which God offers him whatever he wants, and of course he chooses wisdom. The wise men, the magi, warned to return home by another way. These biblical dreams signify God's desire to communicate with people in a special way. Frederick Buechner wrote, Freudians and Jungians, poets and prophets, philosophers, fortune tellers, and phonies all have their claims about what dreams mean. Others claim they can't mean a thing, but at least one thing seems incontrovertible. We are in constant touch with a world that is as real to us while we are in it, and has as much to do with who we are, and whose ultimate origin is as fascinating as the world of waking reality. I agree, because as absurd as they may be at times, they arouse deep feelings within us. They call us to pay some kind of attention, I think, as if to truths imparted to us from a place apart from us. So what of the dreams that we create or that come to us when we are fully awake, when our eyes are open to the problems that surround us, for example. The opposite of our nightmares that take on the shape of our fears, such visions take stock of what is, and they express our hopes then for what might be, what could be. They become powerful when we can believe in them enough to believe that they might or could become real, even if we don't ever witness them coming true. So we think of Martin Luther King Jr., of course, in this respect, dreamer of dreams. He didn't claim to get them from God, but his waking dreams turned out to be heavenly visions, not just for him, but for many of us. That one day, the children of former slaves and the children of former slave owners would sit down together at the same table of brotherhood. And that his children would be judged by the content of their character only. King, of course, paid for sharing that dream. As T.E. Lawrence wrote, people dream, but not equally. Dreamers of day are dangerous, that they may act their dreams and open eyes to make it possible. Those who silenced King sensed something. They sensed that he was a danger to the way things were, to the status quo that they sought to preserve. So by sharing his dream, his vision began to come into being as people were motivated to create the world that Martin Luther King Jr. imagined. Well, I've been thinking much about these scriptures, and I've been thinking as I do that Jesus was about that too, really. He shared his dream of God's good news, but what a dream it was, really. Like Alice's, it's a pretty weird dream to most of us. So we take the Beatitudes, for example, here in this version from Luke. Woe to the rich, woe to the full, woe to the laughing. So those aren't usually the people we think of as being particularly woeful. Those are the ones that our society tells us that we really ought to be. Blessed are the poor and the hungry and the weeping and the reviled. Blessed. Blessed? Really? Like many who heard Jesus, some of us hear those blessings and we wonder whether we have dropped into some kind of wacky dream. And then even farther out, he goes on to say other things that twist our minds and maybe our imaginations. He says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you, and turn the other cheek. Of course, this vision was pretty distant from the reality that Jesus experienced and maybe that we experienced too. Not only were people not sharing, refusing to listen, but some were actively working against Jesus in his time. And he's so profoundly uncomfortable with the status quo that he laments Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who were sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. You hear this sorrow at the end of this word from Jesus here. The same spirit, though, that drove him out into the wilderness now fills his heart with the deepest sadness for the way of the world. Something similar, I've been thinking, must have happened for the disciples. It was crazy, really, to suddenly drop their nets and to follow him and to leave absolutely everything they knew. But Jesus called and they followed. And as I think about this, I can only make sense of it in one way. They realized the risk that they would run by not pursuing this dream that they had caught for a better life and for a better world. Langston Hughes gets that at this in his poem, Harlem, often referred to as A Dream Deferred. Writing during the Harlem Renaissance, when the true talent and intellect of Black writers and actors and artists and thinkers was coming to the fore, he reflected on the separate and unexperience of people in America. And in this poem on his specific experience of having his own literary genius segregated from that of his white counterparts, relegated to his own community and unesteemed by the rest of the world. And so he writes, "What happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun, or fester like a sore and then run? Does it stink like rotten meat, or crust and sugar over like a syrupy sweet? Maybe it just sags like a heavy load, or does it explode?" I think the disciples couldn't bear for their newfound life-giving dream to dry up, to fester, to burden them. They knew that they had to live that dream, either follow or explode. In He Wishes for the Claws of Heaven, poet William Butler Yeats writes, "Had I the vision, had I the heaven's embroidered cloths, and wrought with golden and silver light, the blue and the dim and the dark claws of night and light and the half-light, I would spread the claws under your feet. But I, being poor, have only my dreams. I have spread my dreams under your feet. Tread softly, because you tread on my dreams." Dreams are rich and fragile gifts, vehicles that can take us far and also mists that can evaporate in the slightest of winds. Thus the vital need for dreams and their dreamers, the need to protect them, to make our dreams real by caring for the most vulnerable among us and then also seeking to eradicate the conditions that create them and to share each week in worship God's dream for us and the rest of this creation and every person. And to be aware of and make our spirit discerned holy dreams realities. So what an exciting moment I think it is for us as a congregation, because in the coming months we're going to have at least a couple of different significant times to explore our dreams and to envision how we might bring them into further reality by this congregation. First, as we consider a capital campaign, part of which would renovate the portions of the church's interior and make it more accessible and useful and better able to help us to live into our deepest dreams, which are our commitments for mission and ministry in the world. And then also, secondly, as we prepare for a pastoral search by discerning together the future into which we are being called, I so look forward to being with you on this journey of discovery that we are going to be on in the next year to dream together and make faithful paths together. As the called people of God, may we take every opportunity to seek ways to care for the people near and distant that renew their capacity to dream, to endeavor to safeguard the dreams of young and old alike, and in every way to spread before the tired and the aching feet of neighbor and stranger, friend and enemy, the dream shared to us by Jesus Christ, the good news of God's realm of love and justice. Amen. As we come into worship together, we hold dreams and their dreamers in holy prayer, that we might be moved by them, that we might cherish them, and that we might spend time in discernment about what those dreams might mean for us. So we carry these things into prayer and many other things. In your worship bulletin, you will find many prayer concerns and celebrations that have been lifted up over the last days and months and weeks and sometimes years, because there are places where prayer needs to continue, where our focus, spiritual and otherwise, needs to be drawn. And in particular, to recognize that we can be a people acting as the body of Christ, inviting God's presence into all of those places of deepest need within ourselves, but also within the world that we inhabit and the communities in which we live. We turn now to Wayne Zaretter to let us know about other prayer concerns or celebrations that have been lifted up before this worship and during it. Wayne.
Good morning. Thoughts and prayers go out to the family of Neil Johnson, who died Thursday after a brief stay at St. Elizabeth's Hospital. Prayers for the family of Mary Lynn, a friend of Bill Ladd's, who passed away on the 23rd from a long battle with dementia. Prayers of peace and healing for the family of Barbara Sullivan of Natick, who died this past week after many years of chronic illness. She is survived by her children, Sean and Kate, who cared for her at home. We offer prayers of gratitude for the innovation and dedication of scientists, researchers, and clinical trial participants whose efforts have brought a third vaccine into the fight against COVID. Lastly, prayers of peace and tranquility go out to Addie Donahue, a dear friend of Bill Ladd's from Skidmore, who has been overwhelmed by financial issues during the pandemic. May our prayers help support and strengthen Andy as she navigates this emotionally draining struggle.
Jesus shared with us his dream of all people knowing and expressing the love of God. He invites us to step into a renewed vision of our lives, to speak into being a new story, not one bound by the stories of the past, inscribed on us by others that may be oppressing and limiting us, but instead to dream dreams and have visions that are life-giving for ourselves and others. Consider your beach glass. Beach glass is usually somewhat cloudy when dry, and when it comes into contact with water, it becomes clear and bright. Today, you're invited to fill your vessel containing the piece or pieces of glass that you have with water. And watch the transformation. As you do, let it be a prayer for clarity. Ask for a new way to see the struggles you may be experiencing. Ask for understanding and a way forward. Ask for a new vision to see clearly the dreams that you carry for yourself, for others, and for the world. Take a moment to think on this. And then when you are ready, pick up the container of pieces, now bright and clear in the water, and breathe deeply, inviting the spirit to live and move and transform you and others who need clarity for their lives. And then I urge you to keep this bowl, your bowl with the clear and bright sea glass, in a place where you will see it regularly this week.
I invite us all to be in a spirit of prayer. Let us pray. Healer of every ill, especially our malady of stigmatized fear of mental illness, we come before you to make our petitions known. And so we ask you to hear our cries for healing of body, of mind, and of spirit. We know that already you are at work among us, showing us the way to recovery from the pains of our time, from the toxicities of our time, from the grief of our time. You have stamped each one of us as worthy, and we give you thanks that your mercy is wide and your faithfulness to us does not depend upon having our feelings sorted out or our sense of well-being secure. You are not waiting for us to get our act together before offering us your love and grace. And so we pray especially for those who have experienced heightened and acute mental and emotional difficulties as a result of this past year of isolation and fear. We pray for those who feel far from hope, and we mourn those who could not find a lifeline to survive this hardship. We pray for those who find themselves without access to adequate care, someone to talk to, or appropriate resources to steady their hearts and their minds. We give thanks for those who are telling their stories, showing us how to open our hearts to help others and offering ripples of healing in the community. We pray grateful thanks for progress toward holistic health care and the efforts of all who are working to destigmatize mental illness, making it easier to ask for and get the help so desperately needed. We ask for courage and encouragement to reevaluate how we as a church can help now and in the future. We pray these things. As we do, pray for all situations of brokenness. In the name of the healer Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
Joy like a fountain, I've got joy like a fountain.
I want to thank Beth and offer words of grace for her to hear someone with such a beautiful voice and to know that even that sometimes can falter because we are people. That's how we're made. And I love the fact that there are times when we might not feel like this is worship happening live in this moment. And we're reminded that in fact it is. And so we remember the words of our theme song, vessels holy and whole, broken, needing the one, open, body and soul, healer come, healer come. Arise, arise now, beloved, and may the Spirit hover and move and deliver salve to your soul and spring to your step and give you nighttime and waking dreams of truth and beauty and light and the courage to live them. Amen.